warning. The program you're about to hear is absolutely filthy and thoroughly disgusting. Furthermore, listening to it will immediately turn you into a bottom.
But listen, when it's messy, it's a problem for everyone in the room.
Correct.
All 10 of them.
I'm proud to declare the Adam Sank Show and his ass open to the wind.
Ass open to the wind.
This is fuckery. This is all fuckery. Fuckery, fuckery, fuckery.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now,
give a warm round of applause to my friend and yours, Adam Sank.
Ass open to the wind. Stick it in. Here I am. For the very last time, live. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. We are back live for the very last time. If you're listening live at 11 a.m. Eastern, Saturday, December 17th, 2022, at dnrstudios.com or the DNRcast app, the only place to hear this podcast live and throughout the week that it first airs. Leave us your ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, wherever else you listen. Email me, at adam at adamsank.com. Call and talk to us. This is your last chance to talk to us live. So if any of you are listening live and you want to say goodbye, the number is 804-TALK-ASS. Also, you can leave a voicemail after we're not once we're not live anymore. You know, for the next few days, you can still leave a voicemail and say goodbye to us. Tell us about your how you feel about the show ending, what you loved, what you hated, how much you are going to miss me. And we'll play that on our very, very, very last episode. Like the Adam Sank Show Facebook page, get your ass merch at adamsank.com, get vaccinated and boosted, and stand with Ukraine. Our final live guest of this show will be my old friend and dear friend, Ivan Quintanilla. He is a travel writer who blogs at Traveling IQ, and he'll be telling us about the best destinations for all of you gays, as well as some tips for traveling. But first, I am so happy to finally welcome back, just in time for the show to end, my chubby chorizo, Steve Cesaro. Welcome back, Steve.
Hello, everybody. I have missed you. I have traveled the world. I've gotten a new job. Several people have died. There's COVID. There's Christmas.
Wow, that's a lot.
Gay marriage has happened across the land.
It has. We're going to be talking about
that. And I'm so happy to be back, and it's nice to be back in the studio for this, our final live episode. And, you know, I blame this on you, the listeners, because you did not want to see my butthole. So we're fine.
That's true. Had they left more reviews,
maybe
we would probably still be going with the podcast, yeah. But they didn't. So
fuck you. Go fuck I love you, but fuck yourselves.
I love you, but fuck you, in the words of JB. And speaking of JB... Here she is, the queen of fuckery, JB Bursey. Yeah,
that was great. Thank you. Thank you for quoting me. I would like to quickly say, I think we should have a deadline for phone calls because I am.
Yeah, what's the deadline, JB?
December 26th.
Oh.
The day after Christmas will be the last day to call in with your voicemails because I'll be working on building this episode on the 27th.
That's very generous.
Yes.
All right, everyone. You heard it from the horse's mouth. Not that you're a horse. I will say I've been getting a lot of really lovely emails, Facebook DMs, Instagram DMs. People have reached out. People have, frankly, come out of the woodwork that I didn't know were even listening to tell me how sad they are that the show's ending. I can't read all those on the air. There's too many of them. But once again, if you call 804-TALK-ASS and leave a voicemail, we will play that on the final episode. We've gotten a number of voicemails so far. So thank you for those. Okay, we got to talk about Gail because Homegirl sent us all Christmas presents that are fabulous. She sent us each cartoon bow ties and Santa socks. And she requested that we, I'll read you her note. Merry Christmas, happy holiday, happy Hanukkah. Now get naked, put these on, and take pics for the show and me. Love you all, Gail. So right before we went on the air, we did take a selfie with the bow ties, but we were not naked. And I sent it to Gail, and she immediately wrote back, "Hey, wait, I wanted naked with ties and socks. This is fuckery."
And my message to Gail is, people pay for my naked pictures.
That's right.
I don't just send them for free. You think I go on Grind and send my booty hole pics for free? No, I don't.
Thank you. I do. I send them to anyone who wants them, quite honestly.
I only send them to people that leave reviews.
Steve's hole has 5 stars.
One star when you look at it, but 5 stars after you experience it.
What would be like the gay sex version of Yelp? Like, what sounds like Yelp, but it's sexual.
Help.
Help?
Help. I don't know. Help me.
Steve has 5 stars on Help. Anyway, speaking of Gail, let's, for the very last time, do recommended TV. Hit it, Gail.
I hate this segment. Who gives a fuck what anyone else is watching on TV?
I do.
This shit sucks.
Thank you, Gail. And by the way, this is a very popular segment. A lot of people have told me that they watch our recommendations. And a few people have said, once the podcast ends, you still need to post these on social media so I know what to watch.
I've also been hit up by people who've watched my recommendations.
Yeah.
They'd be like, thank you so much for these recommendations.
We are very important TV influencers.
Yeah.
So the first thing I'm going to recommend is Harry and Meghan on Netflix. I'm sure you've all heard about this if you haven't watched it yet. Okay, let me first say, yes, it is a self-serving documentary. Yes, it's very much spun to make them look, you know, like they put them in the most positive light possible while casting everyone else as a villain. That said, it is very compelling, and I have no doubt that they are telling the truth, that they were fucked over by the royal family. They were especially fucked over by the tabloid media in London, and racism was a huge part of it, but it was also that Kate and William need to be the stars, because William's the future king and Kate's the future queen. And when Meghan came into the picture, she and Harry were getting all the attention. And there was a deliberate campaign on the part of the palace and the media to bring them down and to especially bring Meghan down. And it's fascinating and awful and really worth watching. And then the second thing is just this cute documentary I found on Amazon Prime called The Sound of 007. I'm not a James Bond fan particularly. I grew up in the Roger Moore era of James Bond, and I liked the movies when I was a kid. I probably haven't watched a James Bond film in 20 years, but I love the music. Not only that iconic theme music, but also every movie has its own hit theme song, the best of which is Carly Simon's Nobody Does It Better. Thank you. Which was written by Marvin Hamlisch.
Oh.
Nobody does it better. Anyway, this is a documentary about the music. It's about where that theme song came from. It's about how all those hit songs got recorded and why they were chosen. And it's fascinating.
What?
Steve, recommended.
So my recommended viewing, I hope it wasn't said yet, but I don't think I've heard it, is actually Wednesday on Netflix.
I've heard about this.
Did you ever talk about it? So I wasn't sure, but of course, you know, the media had said that they have the most watched hours of all Netflix series surpassing Stranger Things. So I thought I have to watch it.
Scott Hernandez loves it.
Yeah. Jenna Ortega is a star. She is such a fantastic Wednesday Addams. She brings heart with, like, having totally dead face. You can actually experience her emotions even though she shows none. She's basically like me. We're cold, dead inside, and she's great. But in my final read of recommended viewing,
yes,
I have 3 lines. Wednesday follows Wednesday Addams' years as a student when she attempts to master her emerging psychic ability, thwart and solve the mystery that embroiled her and her family for the past few years. That's it. I think it's excellent. You guys should all watch it. Wednesday Addams on Netflix. The season finale is really good, and I hope they do a second season.
Thank you, Steve. JB, your final recommended viewing.
Okay, so this is gonna get weird and off-putting, especially for me.
Oh dear.
Because the first one I'm gonna recommend is Criminal Minds: Evolution. I was a big fan of the original Criminal Minds, mostly for Shamir Moore. That's a 5-piece of band.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stayed for their plucky tech person who's,
I love your use of the word plucky.
Yeah, because she's super cute and adorable. Like, again, they work with death and try to catch serial killers, but she tracks these upbeat attitude and sparkly, and it's nice. So they brought back Criminal Minds for the 16th season, and they released 5 episodes. They are doing it weekly, but it's on pause right now. It's coming back in January 12th. So binge watch those. And for all my anime watchers, please do watch Demon School. It's great, good fun. Three seasons, totally bingeable. Thank you so much.
Now, I prefer Seaman School.
That's good.
That's the name of my review site, Seaman School. 5 stars.
Thank you. Okay, happy birthday, Steve.
Thank
I forgot
you.
To mention.
Oh my God, happy birthday.
Steve turned, what did you turn this week?
37.
And what's your actual birthday so everyone knows to send you presents next year?
December 13th. I was born on Friday, December 13th, and it is a special day in my heart because nobody wants to celebrate because it is right between Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's a shitty time. Winter holidays are tough. Mine's February 23rd, and that one also sucks because it's A, it's the dead of winter, B, everyone's always away.
Yeah.
That's like winter break. But Steve, you look damn good for 37.
Thank you. I've lost 12 pounds.
You look fabulous.
Right?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You know, you weren't here when I announced that the ass was ending.
I wasn't here.
You were gone for 3 months. Yes. And we had Ryan Frostig here. And I just thought I should give you an opportunity to just kind of express whatever it is you're feeling about the end of the ass.
You know, I'm sad. Because this was such – I feel like we finally got into our groove. I decided to come back for a show here and there. You know, I feel like we had a good time. Adam and I became closer friends than we already are. And, you know, I'm a little sad. There was an idea that made me – I would take over the spot next year. But in this world of endings, as you know, I switched jobs and now this is ending that my new job, which I can't really talk about, but my new job, I no longer have personal time, really.
Steve is going to be the assistant to a very famous person.
Yes.
Like one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah. And because of that,
It
is Adam Sank. This is why he's leaving. Adam has become world famous. The podcast couldn't handle the amount of listeners.
Steve is going to be my assistant.
But I can't do it anymore, so I probably would have had to leave anyway. So I'm actually very happy that, what do you call it, that I won't have the guilt of not showing up for shows.
Well, I will miss you terribly. You've been a wonderful co-host. I'm sorry that we didn't get to do it together longer, but you were a fabulous replacement to the Frost Pig.
Well, I have two great teachers in JB and Adam Sank.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Toss me afterwards, and I'll give you notes.
Oh, and we have one new.
Where's that shade button? My mouth is in this microphone, and I'm blowing out everybody's ears. I'm sure.
Oh my God! Look at this.
Oh God, you're so sweet.
Our guest
Thank
is here
you.
A little early, and he just gave us each little bottles of Patron. Aww. That is so sweet, Ivan. Thank you. We'll be talking to Ivan in just a bit.
He's so cute.
Isn't he cute? He's the first guest to ever bring us gifts, by the way.
They can't sue the show anymore because the show doesn't exist. So I can say you're very cute.
Well,
so thank you.
Steve, are you going to Instagram this live like we said?
Oh, yeah. Are we into the whole thing or just the
interview? Yeah, do it.
Right, also, you forgot that Steve brought in the bartender who bought us liquor.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But that, all right, that was a little different. He was promoting it. Ivan's not promoting Patron. He doesn't like work for Patron.
I mean, true.
Anyway, we did get one new review. This is our last new review that I'm ever going to read on the air, and it's from Manny in Virginia, and the last line made me giggle. Here's how it goes. You're ending the podcast? No! I haven't listened to the latest episode. I always listen while I work. Just read the episode description. We'll miss you, if true. If true?
Shady.
That would be a weird gag for me to play, to be like,
oh my God.
We're ending it. Just kidding. Yes, Manny, it's true. We really are ending, but thank you for finally leaving a review. Okay, so I need to talk about why I left Twitter, and I did leave Twitter for good. So those of you who follow me on it don't anymore, or just basically y'all need to stop using Twitter, and here's why. I'm not going to get into like the whole Elon Musk rant. I'm sure most of you have already heard about the shit that he's done since taking over the platform. It's all been horrible, but there were two things that happened kind of at the same time that really for me was the last straw and made me realize I cannot I can't patronize this site anymore. Every time I click on it, I'm helping him and I'm helping this platform, and the platform needs to die. So the first thing he did that broke the hump of my back, so to speak, was on December 10th. So there used to be a Twitter executive named Yoel Roth. And when Elon Musk first took over Twitter, he praised Roth. But then Roth ended up leaving Twitter and becoming a critic of Elon Musk. So what Elon did was he found Yoel Roth's dissertation from the University of Pennsylvania from many years ago, which he wrote about the hookup app Grindr. And in the dissertation, Roth wrote, I'm quoting, "Grindr isn't a safe and age-appropriate resource for teenagers, But because queer youth use the app regardless, it should instead focus on crafting safety strategies that can accommodate a wide variety of use cases. In other words, what he was saying is Grindr knows that they've got underage people on there, so they should create resources for them that says, like, hey, if you're under 18, this site is not for you, but here's a place where you can go to meet other gay teens and form friendships and find, like, support groups. So Elon tweeted a screenshot from that dissertation and wrote, hold on. He wrote, it looks like Yoel is arguing in favor of children being able to access adult internet services in his PhD thesis. Which was the opposite of what he was, of what he had written. And also, Musk knows that that is like red meat to the QAnon crowd, right? Because they think everyone on the left is a pedophile and a groomer, and particularly gay people. And he's really putting this guy, Yoel Roth's life in danger. And he knows it. And I think Yoel Roth should sue him into oblivion. This is such a clear case of libel. So that's the first thing Musk did that made me leave. The second thing was on December 12th, Elon Musk tweeted, my pronouns are prosecute Fauci. Now, aside from being offensive to trans people and non-binary people, again, this is libel. Anthony Fauci has not committed any crime. He hasn't even been accused of any crime. What are we prosecuting him for? And again, this is putting him at further risk from all the right-wing crazies who believe all these insane conspiracy theories. But more importantly, this is not what the head of a platform, the owner of a platform, is supposed to be sending out. Mark Zuckerberg doesn't go on Facebook and tell us his political opinions. He's not the greatest guy in the world.
Twitter's publicly traded too, isn't it?
It's not. It's a private company.
Okay,
but after the prosecute Fauci and the smearing of Yoel Roth, I just was like, I can't do it anymore. Yeah. And it's hard for me to leave because I've been on the platform since 2009. I'm the most active on that platform than I am on any other social media. I go to Twitter 100 times a day.
It's the only place you haven't been banned.
Thank you. I have been, actually.
Oh, really?
I've been banned for like 24 hours for calling someone a cunt.
Shut up, cunt!
I check the site 100 times a day for news because I follow every like newspaper and television network and media outlet in the world, and I just like to scroll through the headlines. I like to see what people whom I admire are saying about the news.
Yeah.
I like to see my interactions. I like to see an occasional porn clip. I mean, I loved Twitter, but I can't support it anymore. So I left. I am now on Mastodon. I'm on Tribal. I'm on Post. I joined all of them. I wanted to get my at Adam Sank reserved. So I'm there on all three.
Are you on Be Real yet?
I'm not on Be Real.
I'm not on Be Real either.
I am on Free to Be You and Me.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. I'm on obviously Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and YouTube and Friendster.
Can I just say?
Please.
As someone who, okay, so I guess, let me start by saying this. How many of you found out you had racist friends after, I think it was the 10th, when Elon Musk said, I'm going to get rid of the ban?
I didn't find out that I had any racist friends, but I certainly saw a massive increase on Twitter in the N-word and other racial epithets, as well as homophobia, anti-Semitism. I mean, he opened the floodgates to just a sea of hatred.
And his reason was, for free speech. It's not free speech. Like, you open the gates for racist white people to come out and say, fuck niggas. Like, black Twitter was enraged and completely shut down because it was like, no, we can't do this no more.
And they should. And just over the past week, Elon Musk banned like 8 journalists, mainstream journalists from Twitter for reporting on a story he didn't want reported on.
Yep.
I mean, he's fucking insane.
Yep.
And the platform will die. This is unsupportable. This would be like if Donald Trump took over Twitter.
Yeah.
He's making those kinds of insane decisions. Anyway, I don't want to spend any more time on that because we have a lot of more news.
Yes.
But the long story short is you won't find me on Twitter anymore. The great news over the past week is that President Biden signed the Respect for Marriage Act.
Yeah.
This law does not guarantee LGBTQ people and mixed race people the right to marry in every state. What it does do is it forces states to recognize marriages performed in other states. So I think I said this the last time we talked about this, but like if Texas were to say make same-sex marriage illegal again and the Supreme Court were to allow that, they would still have to recognize same-sex marriages yeah. performed in New York. But yes, this was signed after being passed by both houses of Congress. It was somewhat bipartisan, although every Democrat voted for it and many Republicans voted against it. You know, Joe Biden, like most politicians who have been around as long as he has, he's really evolved on the issue. When he was yeah. younger, he certainly didn't support it. But 10 years ago, he was the first member of the Obama administration to say he was fine with same-sex marriage. He said this, I think, on Meet the Press, and it got him into trouble because President Obama had not – that was not his position at the time. Of course, he eventually came around and supported it. But here is President Biden at the signing on the White House lawn.
Hey, and as I've said before, and some of you might remember, on a certain TV show 10 years ago – I got in trouble. Marriage, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Marriage is a simple proposition. Who do you love?
Whom?
And will you be loyal to that person you love? It's not more complicated than that. And the law recognizes that everyone should have the right to answer those questions for themselves without the government interference.
I do wish everyone would learn the difference between who and whom, but I applaud President Biden for signing this. I applaud him for 10 years ago being the first major Democrat to come out in favor of this, that it was on Meet the Press. And for those of you watching on Instagram Live, JB is walking around the studio showing our hot guest, Ivan Quintanilla, as well as Chubby Teresa, Steve Cesaro,
Cub
and
Mexi
myself.
Is where it is on Instagram Live.
Yes.
Cub Mexi on Instagram.
Well, speaking of that marriage law, there was, you know, obviously there was great debate on the House floor before this was passed. And this one woman who got a lot of attention was this crazy bitch from Missouri, this Republican congresswoman named Vicky Hartzler. She was urging her her fellow members of Congress to vote no. And she started crying and made a big ass of herself. And, of course, Vicky Hartzler has an openly gay nephew. And that openly gay nephew has a TikTok account. So and now if this were my aunt, I would have said,
shut up, cunt.
But he was far more polite in the way that he dealt with it. I'm trying to find the nephew's name because I want to give him a shout out.
Is it Christopher?
Is this his Twitter?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, play the clip, JB.
Sure.
Today, a United States Congresswoman, my Aunt Vicky, started crying because gay people like me can get married.
I hope and pray that my colleagues will find the courage to join me in opposing this misguided and this dangerous bill. And I yield back.
So despite coming out to my aunt this past February, I guess she's still just as much as a homophobe.
Let's be clear. Obergefell is not in danger, but people and institutions of faith are.
Aunt Vicky, that's not right. Institutions of faith like religious universities are not being silenced. They're being empowered by the U.S. government to discriminate against tens of thousands of LGBTQ students because of religious exemptions, but they still receive federal funding.
The bill's implications, submit to our ideology or be silenced.
It's more like you want the power to force your religious beliefs onto everyone else. And because you don't have that power, you feel like you're being silenced. But you're not. You're just going to have to learn to coexist with all of us. And I'm sure it's not that hard.
His name is Andrew Hartzler. He's 24 years old. He gets my mazel of the week. And you should all follow him on TikTok.
Good for him. That was actually really well was said and cut. And just the way he presented it was really calm and not so angry, but just, this is what it is. And
he did it 100% right. Yeah. I would have done it wrong. I would have been like, you fucking cunt. You're crying because people are getting their civil rights?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Anyway, she's become a laughingstock and he's become a hero. Other great news this week was that the Florida lawmaker in charge of the Don't Say Gay bill, the one who wrote the bill, is now facing 20 years in prison for fraud.
Aww. feel so bad.
His name is Joseph Harding. He was indicted on 6 counts of wire fraud, money laundering, making false statements, and other crimes. He's obviously a Republican whose district is south of Gainesville. He's accused, this is great, he's accused of seeking COVID relief loans from the Small Business Administration. These are the loans that the Republicans opposed, right? Because it was, they were just giving away money. He sought those loans for 2 small companies that he owned. The companies actually had no employees, and state records show that they had been dormant in the months before the applications were filed. Oh, yes. So basically, he just pocketed the money. Harding has pleaded not guilty. Harding is a home health care executive. He was first elected in 2020, and he's known for having introduced the bill that prohibited classroom discussion of sexual orientation or gender identity in the state's primary schools. His trial is set to begin January 11th. As I said, he faces 20 years in prison, and I hope he goes. I hope he goes there. Bye, shithead.
I actually know somebody that applied for that loan, and now you have to pay it back if you can't prove that you've used it in an ethical and lawful way.
Good.
And he moved to Mexico because he's trying to get arrested.
He's a fugitive?
He's a fugitive.
Adios.
It's so funny. Someone that I knew and someone that I might have slept with, and now I'm like, oh my God, you're like, you can never come back because you're an asshole. And everything you said was a lie.
Wow.
He was like, I'm a millionaire. But he was really bizarre about it too. He was like, I'm a millionaire. I sold my companies. It was a tech company is what he was saying. And then all of a sudden I heard these stories that like things were getting taken away from him here in the U.S., and he had to leave because it was all, he wasn't a millionaire. It was just stolen COVID money.
Nobody who's a millionaire goes around saying, I'm a millionaire.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, you're kind of a dick. Either you came into money and you just have to tell everybody, or you're just an asshole. And I'm like, oh, well.
Well, I hope that he and Assemblyman Harding both go to prison.
Yeah.
Thank you. Someone who is not in prison anymore is Brittany Griner.
Yay.
This is the other. There was a lot of good news in the past 2 weeks that we've been off. Brittany Griner, the Olympic gold medalist and WNBA star, was finally released from Russia, from a Russian prison. She had been detained for allegedly smuggling, or not smuggling, carrying weed vape pens.
Cartridges,
and she was sentenced to 9 years, and there was a swap for this notorious Russian arms dealer named Victor Boot, which is such a good James Bond villain name, speaking of James Bond. I'm shocked by the number of people, gay people, on my Facebook page who were like, this is bullshit. She should have stayed in prison. She broke the law. And I was like, okay, first of all, she broke a marijuana law. It's hardly like a serious crime. Second of all, that's not why she was arrested. She was arrested because she was an American and an Olympic gold medalist, and Russia wanted a bargaining chip to get this guy out. And they were not ever going to release her if the U.S. didn't release Boot. And yes, it sucks that this dangerous arms dealer is now out. And yes, it sucks that Paul Whelan, the Marine who's also in Russian prison, was not let out. But you know what? Brittany Griner was, and she should have been. And fuck all of you who are saying this, because if she were white and straight and blonde and not 6'9" or whatever she is, you'd be like, oh my God, this poor innocent American woman, we have to get her out of prison. So fuck you and your racism and your homophobia at the end.
Can I just say, a lot of these white people come to me and it's like, oh, but she's a wife beater. Why did I let her out? I was like, yo.
Wife beater?
Yeah. I'm like, yo. Even if you claim that she is a wife beater or you have this proof of information, we've exchanged way worse people. We've done terrible things.
Wait, but go back. Was she accused of ever beating that?
I didn't find no evidence or proof of this.
No, her wife is so devoted to her.
Yeah.
Her wife's the one who kept urging the administration to free her. That's complete bullshit.
They said it was their ex. Okay, the person told me it was the exes who claimed that she was a wife beater. I was like, I don't see no information or proof of this. But even if she was a wife beater, she was still an American who was held against her own will. Like, again, for something that wouldn't have happened to a regular white person in America.
She was a political prisoner.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you need to know.
Period.
And she was never going to be released unless we released Victor Boot. And by the way, experts in whatever field they're one is an expert in to know this, have said that he's really not a threat anymore. He's been in prison for so long that he no longer has the contacts or the network that he once did. And it's like, it's not like the U.S. is just going to let him like go unwatched. We've got spies over there. They're going to keep their eyes on him. But anyway, I'm thrilled that Brittany Griner's home, and we're going to skip the Christian Walker story, and we're going to go right to this guy who claims he was fat-shamed on an Atlantis cruise.
He had a 2-pack instead of an 8-pack?
I think he had – well, actually, I'll show you the picture, Steve. I think you'd find him quite attractive.
Oh.
I'm interested to know what you think and what you think about this because we talk about body positivity and we talk about big guys because Steve loves big guys.
I do.
So he wrote this article for something called mensvariety.com on September 17th, and he wrote it under a pseudonym, Mark in Minneapolis. He wrote, being overweight on a gay cruise ship isn't a good idea. Well, that was my experience. Last year, I was talked into going on an Atlantis cruise by my friend Adam, not me. You've seen the advertisements for gay cruises, right? It's always a bunch of young, muscled-up guys that look like they jumped right out of an Andrew Christian ad. In fact, I wonder sometimes if the marketing gurus don't hire models just to lure us gays in. They don't. Anyway, I digress. When Adam sprung the whole gay cruise thing on me, I was hesitant to agree because of my long-standing body image issues. You see, I'm one of those gay men that happens to have love handles. No, I'm not obese or anything like that. I guess I would fit into the heavy cub territory. Okay, blah, 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 blah. He goes on to say that he had a terrible time. He never got laid while his hot traveling companion, Adam, hooked up constantly. He described Adam as like a yoga instructor with a perfect body, by the way. That's important for later in the story. At some point, Adam, this is him writing again. At some point, Adam got up and joined a group of jock-like wolves that were dancing. Everyone in the group was shirtless and had on tight shorts. He was having a great time, and I was happy for him. About 5 minutes into him, we made eye contact while he was grinding on some guy. He used his hand to motion me towards his direction. I waved him off several times, but he kept giving me this really wounded look that told me he wasn't going to accept no for an answer. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking, but I decided to join him on the dance floor. I have no real way of accurately describing these six wolves, except to say they were all chiseled with beach bodies, replete with six-packs and hairy chests. So there I am dancing, trying to fit in. Adam whispered in my ear at some point, like, see, I told you it was going to be a good time. Suddenly, one of the wolves asked me when I'd be taking my shirt off. I was the only one who still had one on. Before I could answer, two of the other wolves were behind me, pulling my shirt off from behind and up over my torso. It was like the music stopped. Just when I started to relax, one of the wolves started to pat on my love handles and made a statement that caused everyone, including Adam, to giggle. Look at that muffin top jiggle. It's like a bowl of jello under laser lights. Before I knew it, all of them were taking turns slapping my pads like it was some kind of twisted game of whack-a-mole. The more they slapped it, the more it jiggled. I was horrified and humiliated. All at the same time, I remember I just wanted to get away from them. So I read this article, and I read it several times. And while I was horrified for this man, for having that happen to him, there were certain things he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read the article?
No, I'm just listening.
There
were
certain things he wrote that were super offensive. So let me read what I wrote on Facebook. I posted this to the Adam Sank Show Facebook page, and I wrote, fat shaming is wrong, period, full stop. And I'm sorry that this man was treated so poorly by a small group of guys he encountered on a gay cruise. But in reading his account, I was struck by this section. Here's a quote from the article. As we continued talking, we noticed four guys getting out of a cab. Immediately, you could tell they were going to be on our gay cruise ship. They were loud, obnoxious, and super Nelly. Even though chiffon was coming out of their mouths as they shouted and laughed at one another, they were all hot. And then here's another passage. The only thing that got me through old San Juan were the occasional stops we would make to look at crap. That and Puerto Rican boys that seemed to be everywhere. I swear, all of them have huge bananas in their pockets. Here's me writing again. So fat shaming is a no-no, but femme shaming and reducing Puerto Rico's capital city to a place filled with crap and Latin men to sexualized racial stereotypes is just fine. Beyond that, I can't help feeling like this guy was looking for love and validation in all the wrong places. Yes, gay cruises are notoriously populated by shallow, vapid, drugged out, muscled up party monsters. Mark in Minneapolis knew that going in. But what Mark failed to do is notice all the other guys on the cruise who don't fit that mold, who are far from the rigid gay physical ideal, and yet who still managed to have a blast on the cruise. Either that, or he didn't want to see them, which is likely why he chose to vacation with his physically buff friend Adam. Not me. Having been on a dozen of these cruises, this is me talking. Having been on a dozen of these cruises, I'll be on the Atlantis cruise in February, by the way. Here's the advice I would give Mark and anyone else heading into a gay party space. No matter your age, shape, or size, there will always be guys who are hotter than you on the dance floor. Always. The hottest ones are also usually the biggest messes. Keep your distance from them. They're never going to be nice because they don't believe they have to be. Instead, seek out the guys on the dance floor who appear to be the friendliest. The ones who are talking to and laughing with other people. You'll notice that their dance circle is made up of guys of various ages, races, and body types. Introduce yourself, shake their hand, chat them up. I think you'll find far more acceptance and a much better time. And if all else fails, there's always the dick deck.
So it's, well, you need an applause for that because it was great advice. I'd probably be his friend because I seem to be friends with everybody regardless of the people.
That's true.
I think there's a lot going on there. I think there's a better way of saying wannabe, but there's someone that's just so desperate to be accepted by something that he's not.
Yes.
Which just to me is like, why are you wasting your time in such a horrible sort of way of being? And to your point, you can go and seek out someone. I mean, it's sort of hard to say, but like, be realistic. Like, why would you want to be with people that are going to be mean to you, that look a certain way, where I'd rather be with a bunch of average looking, friendly, awesome people that some might have a six pack, like Adam Sank.
I do not. And so, I'm not dismissing what he went through. That's fucking trauma.
Yeah.
And those guys are fucking assholes. But like, his whole thing was like, I had a horrible time on the cruise, not just because of that. He's like, I didn't get laid while Adam had people going in and out of the ship. Everyone can get laid.
I bet
on
you,
the Atlantis cruise.
I bet you
everyone
have gotten laid.
You just are not going to get laid by the hottest fucking guys there. Nor am I.
Yeah. I also, in the way that he was writing, I don't believe that that's 100% accurate because he's saying wolves. He's saying all these people. He's saying he was looking at, like, he was looking at things and exaggerating it, maybe in his head, maybe in reality, because everyone's reality is true to them. But I think it was way bigger than what it actually was. And he was just concentrated on, I'm not getting laid. I don't have a six pack. I have love handles. Who cares? Who the fuck cares?
Exactly.
And if he's older, then he really shouldn't fucking care because he should know better.
He comes off like a douche. Okay, time for our guest segment. Great segue. Our guest is a freelance travel and lifestyle writer whose articles have been published in National Geographic, Traveler, TripAdvisor, New Now Next, Queerty, The Bay Area Reporter, Gay Cities, and on his own award-winning blog, Traveling IQ. Please give a warm-ass welcome to our final live guest of all time, Mr. Ivan Quintanilla.
Yay, thank you.
Come right up to that microphone like it was a giant cock.
Oh, my God.
Like that this, giant banana. Like this.
I was trying to think, who have I known longer in New York City that I still speak to than you?
I think we've known each other for about 20 years.
Oh, more than that.
And I've been wanting to get in your ass for about 20 years. So finally, on the last opportunity, I am in your ass.
Let's be clear. You've been wanting to get on the podcast, not my actual ass.
It's a combination. Yeah, yeah.
We've actually had Ivan's... Are you guys married yet?
We're not married.
We've had Ivan's boyfriend on the show years ago, Matthew Montalongo, fabulous actor who was in a show that we featured called The West 40s?
Yes.
And now we're finally having you.
I'm so excited.
How did we meet? I can't even remember.
The gym. I think Gold's Gym is like we're all gay, Hell's Kitchen, 1990s happened. Yeah.
I think we look exactly the same now as we did that.
I think we look better, actually.
Were you always interested in travel when you were growing up? Tell us about little Ivan.
Little Ivan.
Growing up in Miami.
Little Ivan growing up in Miami. So to be honest, actually, I think – so my mom's English is – you know, it's not her first language. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I came to the U.S. when I was 7. And I came to the
U.S. JB just shoved the mic in Ivan's face.
I love it. Thank you. I came to the U.S. when I was 7. So, you know, in many ways, when we did travel – and we did.
You were born in Cuba.
I was born in Cuba. Yep. And so it was me who had to like interpret things and like go up and talk to the counter and be like, what's wrong? What's going on with our flight? So like, you know, 8-year-old or 9-year-old little Ivan. So there was always like, I think that somehow gave me like a savviness about travel in some way. And then I studied abroad when I was in college, and I studied in London, and it was the first time that I'd ever been in kind of this like world city. And I was like, it was life changing. I was like, this is where I belong. It's what led me to New York. And it opened me up to this whole other world that I continued to want to be a part of.
Now, this seems like a dream job to me. I mean, people pay you to travel all over the world to fabulous locations, stay in fabulous hotels, eat fabulous food. How do you get this gig? How does one become a travel writer?
So it is an amazing job in many ways. It doesn't really pay that much. So, you know,
get paid in vacation.
You get paid in vacation. But, you know, at the end of the day, you still got to pay your bills. But it has created amazing opportunities for me. I get to go to places that I've otherwise like would have never been able to afford to go. I was in South Africa for 2.5 weeks this year. And like, it's crazy. I went on safari, like things that are amazing that way. And for me, I came to New York to be an actor, as you know, and
yes.
I did that on and off for many, many, many years. And I still do that a little bit, but.
What was your big commercial? You had a big national spot, right? Verizon maybe?
I did a lot. I did Verizon. I did Spectrum. I did.
Utilities.
I was the voice of McChicken for a little while.
Oh, my God.
So there were all these commercials.
How did that sound?
It sounded oddly like Mexican and Indian at the same time.
we do get confused.
We got a house. Like, it was like that. It was horrible.
It was offensive.
It was completely offensive, but like they did it and they hired me. And I was like, how did I get hired? And then I did like 3 spots for them. So I was like, okay, well, a Mexican McChicken makes me happy. Yeah. Thank you, McDonald's.
What are the best places you've been? Your favorites?
So probably one of my favorite places in the world that I go back to all the time is Puerto Vallarta.
I love Puerto Vallarta, too.
I love it. And it's like, I love it because it is gay, 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 gay.
Yes.
Like, gay exclamation point gay. But it's also like a real city and a real town. Yeah. It's not just a resort town. Yes, tourism is a huge part of it. But it's so gay friendly, and there are like cultural experiences that you could have, and it's beautiful, and people are friendly, and yeah.
I was there a year ago for a week, and it was one of my favorite vacations. It really is. Yeah. I think for anyone, because yes, there's gay Puerto Vallarta, and then there's a huge straight Puerto Vallarta, so it's not just exclusively gay. Yeah. But if you are gay, honey, those naked resorts, I had some fun. Okay, so. Gay people like to travel.
Okay, yes.
Gay men, apparently, certainly.
Apparently, yes.
I don't really know what the lesbians do. But
they cuddle.
I asked you to prepare some tips.
Oh.
Which is ironic because you don't have a tip, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, God.
I have an extra tip. My tip is covered. My tip is cold all the time.
Oh. Wouldn't it be warm? It would be warm.
For the 20-plus years that I've known Adam, he is like the one gay man that I've encountered who
is foreskin phobic.
Who is foreskin phobic.
Openly yeah. tells people how yes. much he hates the foreskin.
I admit it.
So, you know, as much as I love Adam, and obviously he's wrong, as anyone will tell you, but, you know, it's this thing that we've always had.
I mean, it's not a problem because we've never had sex, so it's not like it was ever an issue.
Nor do I think you've ever actually seen my penis.
I've never seen your penis.
You know what? When the show is over, I will show you my penis.
Please do.
Once we're on off Instagram Live.
All right, here we go. He's taking it out.
Wait, is this happening?
He's taking out little Ivan. All right, so please give us your top 5 tips for gay travelers, circumcised or not.
So definitely not, but, I would say my very first thing that I would say, and this is true for any traveler, is take the trip, especially for Americans. Mm. Americans, about 50% of Americans do not take a vacation every year. And these are surveys that are done every year, and this is before COVID. So we are not a culture that prioritizes vacations in the way that Europeans do. So first things, take the trip.
Yes.
You can make it happen. You deserve it. As we've learned, life is short. Do it. The second thing I would definitely say, get traveler's insurance because especially now.
No, I never do that. I always cheap out.
Yeah. But you know, so like you're spending $500, you're spending $5,000 on a vacation. Spend the extra $7,285 and get the traveler's insurance. It's not that expensive, and especially when it comes to, medical situations, which we've now been aware, like, can happen at any time, get it. It's not expensive and it will just make you feel so much better. And God forbid you have like a horrible emergency. Like, you know, and it depends what kind of insurance you get. You can get insurance that will actually pay for you to be like medevaced out of a destination where otherwise.
I'll definitely need that.
You will absolutely need that. Yes. You'll be like your ass open to the wind in a helicopter.
Ass open to the wind. Stick it in. Here I am.
And there you are. And then I would also say, like, we were talking about it's interesting that you talked about that gay cruise experience. And I would say, like, gay vacations can take any form that you want, or gays can travel in any way that you want.
That's right.
And that means we can travel the way anybody can travel, of course. But if you're looking for like gay specific or LGBTQ specific vacations, that can mean anything. Yes, you can go on an Atlantis cruise and like do a bunch of
drugs. Or a Derek and Romaine cruise.
A Derek and Romaine cruise, mm-hmm. and listen to potentially Adam Sank, if they'll have you on.
They won't.
But it can be anything. So don't limit yourself to whatever this idea of what a gay vacation needs to be.
So in other words, like, if you want to go on safari, get a group of your gay friends together and go on safari.
Absolutely. And what I would say about that is, like, safaris, for example. So South Africa, I was just there. South Africa is by far the most LGBTQ-friendly place in the entire continent. Like, their rules, it's been legal there. It was written into their constitution in 1994 when apartheid ended, and they wrote like anti-discrimination laws into their constitution, and gender expression and LGBTQ were things that were written into the law. So you could do that, or if you're going to a place that maybe seems not the most gay friendly, like certain countries in Africa. Egypt is a place that I think of sometimes, you know, like gays go to Egypt all the time and they've had a lot of issues. I would say like seek out a gay tour group that can guide you through that. Unless you're like really smart and savvy and you want to do all that work on your own and figure out what
I don't want to do any work.
I want someone
to tell me what to do.
Exactly. So like there are
I'm a bottom that way.
Yes. And not just that way. So I would just say there are people who are experts.
Bottom.
There are people who are experts in these destinations, and they go all the time, and they take specifically gay groups to these destinations. So I would say seek those out. They have all the information that you need, and they are not going to lead you astray. And you can go to more places than you think you can. I probably wouldn't go to like Iran or Russia.
I wouldn't
right
go
now.
To Russia if
right
my
now.
Life depended
so
on it.
So there are some places that like you probably shouldn't go.
Right.
But there are a lot more places that you can go.
Also, I think, you know, people have to be smart.
Yeah.
Like there are countries where, you know, you don't want to necessarily make out with your boyfriend at the restaurant.
Right.
You know, you don't want to do that in Dubai.
Yeah. But also part of that is just being respectful of the culture that you're in. And I would say that that's an important thing to keep in mind as well. Like you are going into somebody else's space.
Right.
So it is up to you to decide what spaces you're comfortable in.
Yes.
But it's not up to
you. But once you're there,
like if you decide to go, it's not up to you to impose yourself in a way that is not culturally appropriate to them. Yep. That's my take on it.
I agree. I mean, it's one thing if you're an activist, right? If you're like an activist and you're working on human rights and you want to go to like an African country where gay people are oppressed and try to like work toward their liberation, that's different than when you're a tourist and you're just there to have a good time. I think those are two different intentions.
Yes. And also if you're an activist and you're there, you're probably not there to have like a kiss in or like a make out.
Exactly. Like you're not there to be inappropriate.
That's not what it is.
I mean, I would be.
I mean, you would be completely. You would probably get kicked out or you would be
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Other tips?
My top tips. I would say also like just be respectful of the cultures. Just don't be a dick. And if you're curious at all of like where to go, my best advice is find the gay bar, go to the gay bar, talk to the bartender, find people there, talk to locals. I have gone to places and I've gotten all the information that I've needed just literally from talking to a bartender.
And a blowjob.
And the blowjob on the side. Hey!
They love the foreskin there.
Yeah, in most places other than on 46th Street.
Or 38th.
Exactly. I live on 47th, by the way.
Oh, 47th, sorry.
I'm so glad I'm giving out my address to my stalkers, who are real, by the way.
Yeah.
Any other tips?
Yeah, I would just say, like, just go figure out, be smart about it, do your research. But also, like, once you're there, just be open to it and meet the locals and talk to people, and you're going to have an amazing time.
Awesome. Now, we're always trying to find a bargain.
Okay.
Is there a particular booking site that you like for finding great travel deals, airfare, hotel, rental car, and so forth?
Yeah. So a lot of the existing websites have similar information. So, but a lot of them have, like, a blind spot in some way or another. So if you really want to do your research, I would say have several others. Google Flights are great. Sky Scanner is great for flights. I personally like Kayak only because I'm used to that.
Yeah, and I like Kayak too.
It's a good aggregation. But what I would also say is when you go to these sites and you get these deals, I would then say, especially for hotels, try your best to book on the actual hotel website. Because
interesting.
Because a lot of places like Marriott won't give you the points if you book through like Expedia or like a third party. So if you want to get those things, like try your best. And if you find a cheaper rate for a hotel on a different site, most hotels will honor that rate, even if you didn't find it on their site. So,
all right, Ivan, in the time remaining, it is time to play our very last ever game of Ask Me No Questions.
Okay.
Ask me no questions.
Yes. In which country do the men have the biggest dicks?
Brazil.
Yeah.
You said that so quickly without even thinking. Have you been to Brazil, Steve?
No, but I've seen lots of Brazilian dicks, and they're pretty
beautiful. Yeah. And Brazil is
the most beautiful people.
Most beautiful men, women, grandparents, like everyone is just gorgeous.
Which country has the best food? And don't say Cuba because you're biased.
Okay, I can't say Cuba. I do love Mexican food. Let's go with Mexico.
Yes. Sure.
I mean,
I would say France probably, like technically, but you know, I love a taco a lot more than I love like escargot. Yeah. So,
what's the weirdest thing you've eaten in one of your travails?
I have eaten guacamole with beetles.
Ew.
I have eaten. That's probably the weirdest.
I could never do bugs.
I mean, I've done like I've eaten like tongue, like cow tongue and pig's feet and stuff like that. But some of that is just Cuban cuisine, which I don't really eat anymore. But growing up, like it's just something like we had, like we made. My mother made pig's feet, and I was like, but I still ate it.
I will say the last meat I ever ate was my own arroz con pollo that was taught to me by Philip's abuela Esther and is delicious. But yeah. I was tearing that hot chicken off the bones and I just got really grossed out and said, I don't think I can eat meat anymore.
So I eat meat, but I definitely like I'm like a boneless, skinless chicken breast person. I don't like bones. I don't like to be reminded that there's an animal attached to it.
Right, exactly.
It's almost like I like really clean meats. But anyway, other than yours.
Well, there you go. See, I like clean meat too. you don't have to name it, but describe the shittiest hotel you ever stayed at or the shittiest resort.
Okay, so there had been a hurricane about a week before, and there were water marks, like water stains all over the walls, and there was a drip happening. And I walked in, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then ultimately, I was like, obviously, like, they're just going to, like, change me to another room.
Right.
And they were like, no, I'm sorry. Like, this is happening everywhere, and we can't change you. So I was at this presumably nice resort otherwise.
And where was this?
This was in Mexico. Uh-huh. This was in, like, Cancun area. Mm. Riviera Maya, let's call it. There were, like, the entire time was, like, drop.
Water torture.
So
that's bad.
I spent a lot of time at the pool.
Are you a member of the Mile High Club?
I am.
Yay!
Wow. In the bathroom or in the seat with a blanket over it?
The latter. So I by Mile High Club.
It's a little bit too much
in the bathroom.
I wasn't in the bathroom. No, I got jacked off. I got masturbated.
You can say jacked off.
I got jacked off.
We just played gay fucking sound effect.
On a flight to Rio de Janeiro.
Under a blanket?
Under a blanket. And literally, like, and it was the first time I'd flown business. Like, I'd saved up all my miles, and I was flying business, and I was next to this gentleman. And, you know, whatever, one thing led to another, and then it happened. And then literally we had those like red American Airlines blankets over us, and it was like moving, like it was like it was ridiculous. Like, yes, we had the blanket over, but anybody who looked would have seen what was happening. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get kicked out of this flight. Like, how does this happen? And then we didn't. We came, and then we went to sleep, and it was fine.
I had the exact same experience.
Yeah.
I was coming home from Hawaii after an Atlantis cruise. I think I've told this story on the air before. And I was sitting next to a guy from the cruise. We hadn't met until then. And he had The Wizard of Oz on his laptop. And we were under a blanket. It was all the lights were off. It was an overnight flight. And I started jerking him off as we watched The Wizard of Oz. He came, and then we both fell asleep.
So was there a particular character that turned you on?
I was like, the flying monkeys have always done it for me.
That's hot. They're buff.
The Munchkins.
Where's the best gay nightclub in the world? Like, the greatest one you've been to?
So I have not been to this place, but apparently, like, the largest gay nightclub in the world is in Bogota, Colombia.
Mm. Yeah.
Apparently.
And they have great cocaine, I bet.
I mean, apparently. and Colombian men are so beautiful. And,
yes.
You know, I mean, I am shallow. Like, you know, we all like to go to places where there's beautiful men around us. Yeah, so that's it. Other than that,
there isn't like a club there that's like the most famous?
Yes, I think it's called Teatron or something like that.
Teatron.
Teatron, like theater, like Teatron.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah,
and it's the largest club apparently in the world. And I've seen photos, and there's all these like hot Colombian go-go dancers and just like hordes and hordes of whores.
Hordes of whores, my favorite. Which is the best airport for bathroom cruising?
Oh my God. He's like, I know exactly what that is. So tell us.
And make sure you get close to that microphone. Yeah. I don't want to miss this.
So I would have to say, not that I've ever done it, but I did have a close experience with that in Madrid.
Oh,
that's it? That's all you're going to say?
Madrid, that's it.
When are you taking me on vacation?
Well, you said you're going on a cruise in February. Let's go.
Buy a ticket.
Oh, yeah, I don't do that. Yeah,
I don't think anyone's going to pay you to write about an Atlantis cruise, especially once they hear what Mark in Minneapolis went through.
There we go.
Have you been on an Atlantis cruise?
So I've not been on an Atlantis cruise. I have been on a gay cruise. I've been on a Vakaya cruise, and it's interesting what you were talking. That whole story, I found it to be so completely different, and it wasn't an Atlantis cruise, and I am different than Mark in Minneapolis or whoever that is.
Very good.
But I found it to be such an accepting, wonderful place. Like, there were like more traditionally attractive guys. There were a lot of bears. There were older guys. There were, it was a really diverse body type.
I agree.
On the Vakaya cruise. And everybody was so friendly. I did not encounter any awkwardness, any weirdness at all.
I mean, you're also, to be fair, a beautiful, in-shape man. So that's kind of going to be a calling card. But you're right.
According to listeners, he's muy guapo.
Gracias.
He is muy guapo.
Gracias.
Ivan, people can read about your travel posts on travelingiq.com.
They can.
What do you have coming up? Is there
I'm hoping to go to Thailand in April, and I'm super excited about that. Fabulous. It'll be my first time in Asia. And I'm sure I'll travel between now and then, but definitely like that's the next big trip that I'm kind of focusing on right now.
Other than the website, how can people follow you online?
You can follow me at TravelingIQ on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and any of all those other wonderful places.
Thank you so much for coming in and being our last guest.
Me.
We're going to have penis cookies in the next hour if you want to stick around for a little bit. Steve and JB, plug yourselves.
I am Cub Mexi on Instagram and Steve Cesaro Medina on Facebook.
I am StockAnarchy12, only on Instagram.
Thank you both so much. We are back next week with our annual holiday show featuring exclusive music by Sanjaya Malakar, Tom Goss, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, our own Steve Cesaro, and more. Subscribe to this podcast at dnrstudios.com. Don't forget to order your ass merch at adamsank.com. Follow me, on Instagram, not Twitter. Just Instagram at Adam Sank, on TikTok at Adam Sank Official, on the Adam Sank Show Facebook page. Waiting for that music, JB. And email me at email me at adam@adamsank.com. Have a great week, bitches. Bye.